Thank you, brother. Yeah, as we've been going through the book of Proverbs, at times we might feel that the connection is not there from each proverb to each proverb or each verse to verse. And the big ultimate connection is God's wisdom and how we also are able to share it and having wisdom based on how we live our lives. Now, this evening, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 21. And I was looking through this proverb, and I noticed there were certain things that were like common themes or ideas through Proverbs 21 that caught my attention. And I wanted to share that this evening with you all here. I want to see if you noticed that too as we read through Proverbs chapter 21. It's the theme of the outward and the inward. The outward appearance and also what's on the inside. As we read through Proverbs chapter 21, there's 31 verses. Just follow along as we read through this and see if you notice any of these outward or inward thoughts. Proverbs chapter 21, starting in verse 1. The king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked is sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. The violence of the wicked will drive them away, because they refuse to act with justice. The way of a guilty man is crooked, but as for the pure, his conduct is upright. It's better to live on the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. When the scoffer is punished, the naive becomes wise. But when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. The righteous one considers the house of the wicked, turning the wicked to ruin. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom strong wrath. The exercise of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror to the workers of iniquity. A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. He who loves pleasure will become a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not become rich. The wicked is a ransom for the righteous, and the treacherous is in the place of the upright. It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. All day long he is craving, while the righteous gives and does not hold back. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? A false witness will perish, but the man who listens to the truth will speak forever. A wicked man displays a bold face, but as for the upright, he makes his way sure. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. As we're reading through Proverbs chapter 21, We're going to start at verse 1, and we won't have the time to go through all 31 verses, but we'll just pick a few of the verses, at least in the time that we have, to see if we see a common theme of the outward and inward. We start at verse 1. We see that God is in full control. And kings and rulers may be in power while on earth, but we notice that God's word tells us that nothing happens without the Lord's hand allowing it. It's a great reminder for us as we look around in the world today and we see things that we don't understand. We see things that we just don't agree with. And as we've been going through the adult Sunday school class that Jason's been, that led us the last couple of weeks, a reminder of God's wisdom versus man's wisdom and how much greater God's wisdom is compared to man's. To the point where, who are we to question God's wisdom? Who are we to question how God does things? Isaiah 55 reminds us that God's thoughts and our thoughts are not the same. How his ways are higher than our ways. So we're reminded that no matter what a leader portrays on the outside, it's the Lord who's ultimately in control. That should allow us to have a sense of peace that guides us each and every day. Knowing that even though we don't agree with something that a leader is doing, in the big picture, we look at it and we're reminded that God's still on the throne. God's still the one that's in control. And we have that kind of a mindset that we know that no matter what happens in this world today, that we are serving a God, the one and only true God, who's ultimately in control, then we should be able to have that sense of peace in our lives, knowing that, yes, it might be frustrating what we're going through in every day, but it's not what's ultimately going to prevail, because in the end, God does. In verse 2, we see the difference between how a man views things versus how the Lord does. See, man looks at the outward appearance, while the Lord weighs the thoughts and motives of a person's heart. We're reminded of Samuel being called by the Lord to go anoint the next king. And Samuel immediately is in awe, and he's attracted to the stature and the appearance of Jesse's older sons. But God has to tell Samuel that God does not look the same way that man looks. See, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And it makes us stop to think about what is it that's important to us. Do we care more about how others look at us? Do we care more about the impressions that we place, the appearance that we put so that other people are impressed? Or do we really care about what our heart looks like, because that's what the Lord's looking at? That's when they started questioning, where do we spend our time? Is it more on making others around us happy, or is it about pleasing the Lord? Do we spend more time trying to obey God's word, which affects our heart and our actions? And then looking at verse 3, similar to verse 2, we're reminded that God isn't as much pleased with our outward acts of religion as he is with our inward acts of truth and doing what's right. I mean, we can put on the show of attending the meetings of the church. We can have an attitude that thinks highly of ourselves because we follow the rules. But if our heart isn't in the right place, then it doesn't please the Lord. See, we can fool others, and we can even fool ourselves, but we can't fool the Lord. See, he knows our true motives. He knows our true reasons to why we do what we do. So when we come to church, is it to check off a list of that I did this? Or is it because we truly love the Lord and we know that he loves us and we want to spend some time worshiping him? We want to spend time learning from his word. We want to spend some time in prayer. What is it that motivates us? Is it obedience? Or is it like acts of sacrifice that has no obedience behind it? Because on the outside, people can look at a person and see someone that might look like someone that is really godly, someone that's really on fire. But God can't be fooled. And that's where we look at these verses and we're seeing that God looks at the heart. There's nothing that gets by him. And we move on to verse 4 and we see the outward expression used here, like haughty eyes. Then we see the inward of a proud heart. And the things that motivate and drives the wicked, they're all sin. You look at verse 4 and you see how the inward and the outward is not just about positive aspects, but even evil or sinful aspects. Looking at verse 5 to 8, we just combine these two because of time. We see verses here of contrast. On one side, you have the diligent worker, and then you have someone who is hasty. We see people that lie to achieve their treasure, their pay. But notice that that's just something that's temporary and leads to death. See, violence of the wicked will destroy them, and it will not go unpunished. And then you look at what causes them to do so. And it tells us that guilt causes a person to lie, to hide, to act deceitful. But on the other hand, when you have a person who has confessed and who has forsaken their sin, that person has nothing to hide and can walk uprightly. And in this section of the verses 5 to 8, we see that on the outward, you have a lying tongue, you have violence, deceitful acts. But then not just evil, but you also have outward acts like walking uprightly for a diligent worker. And then on the inward, you see on one side, you see the guilt. And on the other side, you see a heart that is confessed. What is it that drives? What is it that motivates? Is it what's from the inward that flows out and shows on the outside? And moving and looking at verses 9, I noticed that there's a word here that's also used in verse 19. So I want to combine verses 9 and 19 together. And we see this repeated in both these verses. How about living in a home where the marriage is contentious? A home where it's filled with argument and strife. And we see the Bible saying that it's better to live alone on the corner of a roof where you have direct access to the elements of heat and cold. See, back then the roofs were flat, so when people, this illustration is given of someone being out on this flat roof in the corner in direct contact with the heat, the cold, the rain, the hail, the snow. I mean, we're reminded right now of the weather outside. God's word saying it's like it's better to be out there right now on the roof in this kind of weather, feeling that, than into a house where there's strife and contention, where there's arguments. It's better to be out in a desert alone by yourself where there's lack of water and there's heat than to be in a house with problems. But is that really God's desire? Is that we're alone? We look in the beginning in Genesis and we see that God said it was not good for a man to be alone. So when I read these verses, it's like, it's not that God wants us to be alone. He would rather us fix the issues that are inside the house. I mean, sometimes we care about what other people think about our house. I know I've fallen victim of this many times where I want to put up that fake smile, that fake love, that everything's okay. Because I don't want people to think badly about us. See, the truth is that God knows. And that's what you see throughout these verses, that God sees. God knows the heart. God knows what's happening on the inside. He wants us to fix that. He wouldn't want us to be out there alone. He wants us to live lives where we're obeying, and what flows from the inside flows out. In verse 13, you see that there's people that go out and they shut their ears to those that are hurting around them. You know, how do we respond when we see or hear that someone else is hurting around us? We need to be careful, and because if we go unconcerned for the needs of others that are around us, there may come a time where we ourselves are in need or crying, and that we won't be heard. It reminds us of the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man ignored Lazarus and his cries and his needs. And there came a time when the rich man cried out and his request was not heard. See, are we living lives that ignores those that are suffering around us? The Bible says, let that not be the case. Because there may be a time when you are crying, we're crying, we need the help, and we might be ignored. Moving on to verse 15. A righteous person gets great joy when they do something that is truthful. But the end of someone who does evil is destruction. See, when our inward desire is to do what's right, our outward expression is pure joy. So we can always look towards the future, and with this passage too, knowing that when the Lord returns, it's going to be a great day of joy for those of us who are upright, who have been saved. For the Lord to take us, it's going to be a great day of joy. At the same time, it's also going to be a time of horror for those who are found to be on the other side of that, who have not trusted the Lord. This verse reminds us of what is it that is our true motive? Because when a righteous person truly does things for others to help, it brings pure joy. And that's what the reward is. Moving on to verses 17 and 20. Here we see that God also gives us wisdom regarding our financial life. If we live our lives investing on outward pleasures, we see that the satisfaction and pleasure it gives won't last long. And the kind of lifestyle would drain our financial resources. Also, we see if we invest on the outward, it's our inward spiritual life that will also end up in poverty as well. At the same time, you look at verse 20 and you see a wise person who's able to hold on and keep their finances, in contrast with a foolish person who wasted away. See, this is where wisdom comes in, where we can ask the Lord to use what he's given us in a way that honors him, but at the same time, not to do so in a way to worry about what other people think about us, and not to do so to please other people, but to please the Lord. And that's how I see these verses connect with one another and saying how we do, how we act. Is it mainly to please others, or is it to please the Lord? We're looking at verse 21, about pursuing righteousness and loyalty. So when we strive to do what's right and we're loyal, then others will view us differently. See, the inward is the person who pursues righteousness and loyalty. The outward is, for such a person, is life and honor. See, such a person is held to high regard, in high regard, because of their loyalty and their truthfulness. Isn't that the kind of testimony we want to have when we go out? That people see someone that's trustworthy, that's loyal, that's going to say what's right. And that's the testimony that's brought up with our names. Moving on to verse 23. A person who's able to control his words is able to save himself from trouble. We know that our words have a lot of weight, a lot of power to it. Our words can be used for building others up. At the same time, our tongue can also be used to tear people apart. When we're wise, we think before we speak. We end up saving ourselves from trouble. See, here the inward is a person that is in tune with God's word and is able to think before speaking. Such a person is saved from outward trouble. Such a person is saved because they're keeping it in line with God's word. Verse 25-26. Here we see the contrast of a lazy person versus a hardworking person. On one side, you have the lazy person who is craving for riches, but their laziness and their lack of desire to want to work does not allow them to attain these desires. On the other side, you have a righteous person who is hardworking, who earns money and is able to and is ready to give to others in need. And the inward here is laziness. It leads to death. And also the inward on the other side is righteousness, which leads to hard work and the ability to help others. And connecting it with the other verses, you see, if you're in tune with the needs of those around us, a person who's righteous, who's hardworking, is willing to use that, what they've earned, to help those around them. A person that's hardworking is willing to do that for others and at the same time get true joy. So the inward on one side, laziness that leads to death. And you have righteousness that leads to hard work and the ability to help others and true joy. Looking at verses 28-29, you have a false witness or a person who lies and is also bold when they tell their lies. They may swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But when they speak their words, it ends up leading them to death. Because when they lie, they're so bold that their truth will still find them out. See, while a truthful person on the other side who obeys the Lord, who obeys the truth, which is God's word, will be able to give a testimony that can be trusted, that can be established. And it goes back to the passage of pursuing righteousness, the verse in 21 that said, pursuing righteousness, such a person will have pursue righteousness and loyalty and have honor. Here in verses 28 and 29, you see that same kind of person who's able to be trusted. That's the testimony they have. Unlike that false witness who lies and leads to death, a truthful person who obeys the truth, obeys God's word, is able to give a testimony, be trusted, and be established. So in the outward and inward, you see a truthful person. In the outward, you see someone that's established and has a testimony. Then verses 30 and 31. Here the chapter of Proverbs ends the same way it began, reminding us about God's power and his wisdom, and that it's greater than the leaders of the world. See, there's no council that can stand against the Lord. There's no army, there's no military power that can go against God's will. In the end, the victory belongs to the Lord. These are the reminders of that can help us in our day-to-day lives and give us peace as we live in a world that's filled with chaos. We live in a world that is very sad to see how it's turning out. But as believers, we have a hope that is greater than anything this world can give. I mean, you look at the news and you see that one war may start or one leader is doing certain things. Do you think God has no idea that this is happening the way it's happening? I mean, we'd be lying to ourselves if we felt like anything that happens, God wouldn't know about it. I'm so thankful that we have a God that's greater. We have a God whose wisdom is higher, whose ways are higher than ours. In closing, I want us to remind ourselves of the inward thoughts and desires that will determine our outward actions and behaviors. Let's remember that God is the one that looks at us, and he doesn't look at us the same way man looks at us. See, God looks at our hearts, and we can't fool him. When God sees our lives, does he see the lives of wisdom, righteousness, and truth? Or does he see people that are just putting up a show just to impress those around us? Does he see people that are putting up a show just to cross off or check off the box of things that they did keep up with the spiritual life? Let that not be the case. Let it be that he sees people that truly love him, that want to obey him. And let's live lives that want to obey God's word, because out of it flow the issues of life. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the constant reminder of what a great God you are and how your wisdom, your ways are higher than ours. Lord, help us to live lives that want to please you. Help us to stay grounded in your word and help that direct our paths, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us your word and allowing us to have a guide while we're here on this earth, Lord. Thank you that you are still on the throne. You're ultimately in control. And we can live every day knowing that in the end, you will be victorious. Thank you again for your love for us, this time that we can spend time in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would hear our words, our feeble requests, Lord, that you will answer our prayers, and that we would glorify you in everything we do. In your name we pray. Amen.